Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You've really carved out quite a status of villain right here in this town. Congratulations.
I don't know what I did. I mean, I just answered your dumb questions about your McKean's manager. I don't know.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
That's Andy McCullough, who refuses to take ownership of the fact that he himself is a villain in Chicago. That's fine. He can believe whatever he likes. We know the truth. It's Matt Spiegel. And Spiegel and Parkins, back when it was a thing, used to have McCullough on. And we did ask a lot of dumb questions, and you made the mistake of answering them. So I think that's on you at that point, Andy.
I blame myself for maintaining my relationship with Parkins, 15 years after we left college. I should just move on. We should both move on.
I'm trying. I'm trying over here. It's like
I wish I was. But, I was friends with Nick Wright, and instead I'm stuck with Parkins. Sucks.
You chose poorly, my friend. You absolutely did. He is Andy McCullough of The Athletic, formerly of the Kansas City Star and of the Daily Orange and the LA Times as well. But, I like to say that I'm an amateur epidemiologist on this show, because we all are right now. But I think you and Mark Carrig have achieved a level of understanding or insight through the piece that you guys wrote about the safety protocols, where you talked to several medical experts. You might be one of the best amateur epidemiologists covering the game right now. So congratulations on that.
And Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, you got it. So what did you learn along the way as you figured this out? It seemed like everybody said that the frequency of testing was a big, big deal. And what I've heard from Ken Rosenthal and others is that the players echo that they need that frequency of testing, perhaps almost daily, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is that if you do not have daily testing available, then you have to practice more sort of draconian, like, social distancing measures within the clubhouse. So that's where it's like no high fives, no spitting, no chewing tobacco, can't shower at the park, no hydrotherapy, all that stuff, which is really kind of, cramps the players' routines. And if you have daily testing, not only can you do all those things and make it, just easier to be a professional athlete and, do your job, but you also are just more likely to catch the disease when it comes into the environment. And talking to these, epidemiologists and infectious disease experts, I mean, they were all pretty blunt. Like, there's going to be infection. People are going to catch this virus. And especially in a system where if you're only getting tested two or three times a week. But if you're doing diagnostic testing on a daily basis, there are going to be guys who get tested, and there may be times when guys sort of get into the clubhouse and spread the virus, but they're going to be probably more able to, stop an outbreak, I guess. You can't stop infections, but you can do your best to stop an outbreak, and daily testing is the best way to do that. And Major League Baseball hasn't implemented that yet. So, you know, that's a big issue.
This whole idea that a positive test doesn't mean that you're shutting down. A positive test means that you, test everybody else and quarantine them and then hope that they don't show, that they don't test positive the next day. Like, part of that scientifically just doesn't make any sense to me. Were you able to make sense of that?
No. I mean, the CDC guidelines suggest that if someone tests positive, that those who are in contact with them need to quarantine for 14 days. But if you do that, it's going to be very difficult to have a baseball season. So, I mean, look, like, if the goal right now in this country was specifically the only goal was make sure the virus goes away, we wouldn't be playing baseball this year. And again, we can't as simply say, you know, because of how the economy and all that sort of stuff, we can't just say, okay, the number one goal is stopping the virus. People have to, you know, pay their bills, all that sort of stuff. I get that. But in order to have a Major League Baseball season, you know, you're going to have to kind of, for lack of a better term, like, cut some corners. And yeah, there isn't a real I haven't heard a real good explanation for how a positive test wouldn't lead to basically everyone having to shut down. But they seem to believe that if they're doing enough testing and, you know, the daily fever checks and all this sort of stuff, they'd be able to prevent an outbreak inside a clubhouse. We'll see. Unfortunately, we'll see. That's the kind of harrowing thing about this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The amount of testing that they need and say that they will be able to provide, hell, even if it's not daily, if it's just a couple times a week, you referenced, I think, 14,500 tests per week, I believe it was. They seem to be confident on their ability. And John Lester echoed with us yesterday that MLB would have its own facility, so they're not taking tests from anybody else around the country. That's a bone that a lot of people are looking to pick. Is this based on the fact that MLB hopes to have the saliva tests be the ones that, if they can make the saliva test both plentiful enough and viable enough, that they indeed will not be taking from the stockpile? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, they have said in their protocols that the primary testing they will be doing will be through saliva rather than the nasal swabs, which makes sense both from a terms of the nasal swab test, from everything I've read, is very uncomfortable and intrusive. And there's also some issues with the supply chains of just actually getting the swabs. So they, you know, their primary way of doing diagnostic testing will be doing the saliva. The problem with that is the efficacy of those tests is still kind of in doubt. You know, it's not to say that it might not work, but it just hasn't been, you know, they're very, very new. I think they only in the past 2 weeks or so have they really started being used. So the just whether or not they're going to have false negatives, false positives, whatever, is unclear just yet. And then also there is the amount of PPE that needs to be produced, you know, all the N95s and the gloves and, you know, testing reagents and all that sort of stuff. And yes, Major League Baseball does have a facility in Salt Lake City, Utah, that they're going to commission to analyze all the tests. But the PPE aspect, they still will be taking resources that won't, you know, could be used elsewhere. Now, there's reason to believe that, hey, maybe with the way that production has been ramped up on these things, you know, across the country, that in June there might not be, you know, supply chain issues, but we just don't know yet. So Major League Baseball has said that they're committed to not siphoning away resources from, you know, first responders and healthcare situations, but we just don't know. I mean, I hope they don't. But it's just too soon to say whether or not that's actually what the case is going to be.
All right, McCullough, hard left turn here. You wrote
a piece.
What did
you think of David Ross? Yeah.
No, even harder. Even a more firm left turn. You wrote a piece with Rustin Dodd on The Athletic about the greatest baseball songs of all time.
Oh, my God.
I was pleased to see several things in there. Major Leagues by Pavement is a song that I have used to open Hit and Run in previous years. I've used that. There's the Ichiro song by Ben Gibbard. I think it's Ballad of Ichiro, I believe.
I think it's called Go Go Ichiro or something. Yeah.
Okay. The very touching and simple The Greatest by the late Kenny Rogers, gotta mention. I even appreciated that. My problem is that Go Cubs Go is a terrible, terrible song. It is an embarrassment to the legacy of the brilliant Steve Goodman. The dying Cub fan's last request is sprawling and ingenious and thoughtful and wry, and Go Cubs Go, frankly, sounds like a money grab from a man who needed it late in life and career. And while I admit to singing along with that song several times at the end of particularly, you know, happy moments in the stands with booze involved, you, as the music elitist that I've heard that you are, that I believe you to be, how do you place Go Cubs Go in that context?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we had a do-over, we probably would have switched out the Steve Goodman songs. I'll wear that one. There were two things we should have done differently than that. We should have used the Dying Cubs fans' last request instead of I love Go Cubs Go. I get why, if you hear it, you know, I don't know, how many games do the Cubs win per year? Like, if you hear it, you know, after their 92 wins every year, you know, you really love it, or probably get sick of it, excuse me. I think it's great. You know, it reminds me of covering, you know, them during the 16 and 17 playoffs and whatever.
Yeah.
But we should have switched that out, and we should have put in a note explaining why center field sucks, because we didn't include center field on the list, and the comment section just went absolutely bonkers. So we should have just mentioned, hey, you know, by the way, center field is not a good song. And then we should have flipped the Steve Goodman song. So, you know, I'll wear that one. That was a mistake.
Okay. Okay.
You know, nothing to be said besides, you know, we erred.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Was not expecting a full mea culpa. I really was expecting more of a tussle. Here, I will say that I remember writing about the 2015 playoffs when the Cubs beat the Cardinals, and I was in the stands at the end of that series, and I found myself, as I wrote, singing along to a song I hate. You know, it just sometimes you find yourself doing it, and I guess it's got to be pretty good if it has that power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, man. It's fun. There's a Dylan Hernandez, the columnist at the LA Times, is fond of going into bars in Los Angeles and putting on Go Cubs Go on repeat on the jukebox on shuffle to upset people. So it has a fond place in my heart.
It sounds like John Mulaney's bit about What's New Pussycat.
All right.
Then you wrote about the Dodgers, perhaps the healthiest and best run organization in the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they continue to churn out this steady stream of top-tier prospects. Dustin May and Gavin Lux primed to be in Rookie of the Year conversation. Although, is Dustin May, would he still be eligible? I think so.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. But they've been fascinating, what they've chosen to do with their infinite money through the years. I was struck by what you wrote about how they got to the offseason and realized, well, we're going to have to finally go for it and add a giant deal. All that's left is adding a superstar. Sounds like desperation, but maybe it's understandable desperation, because that's about as cruel a run as you can go on for a truly great team over these past 3 or 4 years. How desperate did Andrew Friedman get by the time this offseason came around?
It's a good question, because I don't think, you know, I don't think Friedman really looks at it in that way. I don't think he looked at it as, you know, we need to make a splash. I think he probably frames it, and this is how he chooses to frame it publicly, at least, is in order to make a difference, we need to make a splash. You know, like, if we just stay status quo, their thinking was, if the Dodgers don't add anyone, they're still the best team in the National League. If they just take the roster on paper, no Mookie Betts, no David Price, they're the best team in the National League. But in order to actually get better in a meaningful way, it would take a superstar. So Dallas Keuchel, Madison Bumgarner, even, you know, re-signing Hyunjin Ryu didn't really make a huge difference in their bottom line. Garrett Cole would have made a difference. Anthony Rendon would have made a difference. Francisco Lindor would have made a difference. But the guy that they were able to actually find a deal for was Mookie Betts. And the reason they were able to find that deal is because they had been, they hadn't hamstrung themselves with financial commitments to players. So they were able to take on not only Betts's, you know, massive salary in arbitration, 1 year salary in arbitration, and a good chunk, about half of David Price's contract for the next 3 years, but also they hadn't dealt some of their best prospects. So they still had Alex Verdugo, who's considered a pretty good prospect and, you know, ready to play now in 2020. So they had all these resources that they kind of kept marshaled. And that's kind of how they do business, or try to do business, at least, is, you know, they try not to make decisions that make them incrementally better in the moment, but can hamstring them from, doing something bigger down the line. Now, that can be exasperating for their fans when they, like, in 2019, do nothing at the trade deadline and don't really improve their bullpen. But, you know, in the long view, it's kind of hard to argue with their, their business plot model or baseball operations model or whatever you want to say. I mean, there's a reason that every team in baseball wanted Gerrit Cole this offseason, and the only two who made him an offer were $300 million were the Dodgers and Yankees. And it's not just because they're two big market teams, but that they had prepared for this sort of scenario and were ready to make that offer when Cole hit the market.
Yes, that surprised me that the Dodgers were finally, and that's why I use the word desperate, to give Cole that money. Look, it's a masterstroke to end up with Mookie Betts for sure. What they did. And that worked out beautifully. But to be willing to offer Cole what they did, and then did they offer Rendon as well? Were they right up there with the Angels on Rendon?
Well, the Rendon thing was weird because I don't think they would have offered as much as the Angels, but Rendon just basically told him, I do not want to play in Los Angeles. And so the Los Angeles Angels do not play in Los Angeles. So it actually, it sounds strange. But yeah, he just said, I don't think they would have signed Rendon. I think they would have come up short. But he just never even took an offer from him. He just said, I'm not interested in playing for you.
Well, I always think about what the Dodgers did with Hector Olivera when he signed a 6-year, $62 million deal. Got a $28 million bonus that the Dodgers paid, and he never played a game for them. Traded to the Braves as
right.
part of the Alex Wood deal. And your ability as a franchise to eat $28 million in that way and turn it into a young, controllable pitcher like Alex Wood, among other pieces, is remarkable. So I would have been shocked if they blew $300 million on, especially an arm like Cole, who could obviously blow up at any moment.
Yeah, I mean, did not expect them to be as aggressive on Cole as they were. And if the Yankees hadn't offered, $324 million, the Dodgers would have signed him. But, they had determined that he was the guy worth betting on with that sort of deal because of, his pedigree, his track record, and, his health and just his arsenal and his willingness to learn, all that sort of stuff. You're right. It would have been it's a pretty insane number to give a pitcher. I mean, I think we all know that, but at least two teams thought he was worth it.
Peter Gammons was on the station this week and was talking about the future of free agency. And in his opinion, he said Mookie Betts will be lucky to get $250 million. Now, that's a lot of money and that's a wonderful life and generational wealth and all that. But it's at least $100 less than he was probably expecting. Are the Dodgers going to be in the market to pay Mookie Betts that money?
I'll be honest, I have no idea because I don't know what their finances look like. I don't know what any team's finances look like, and I think... Right. I mean, but really, like a lot of this stuff, like, you're kind of starting, they're peeling back layers of the onion and you're seeing, teams furloughing employees and, cutting corners. And it's like, okay, so whose money is real and whose isn't? I to be honest, I don't know. I mean, my guess, and I can't, this is, forecasting in a way that no one knows the answer for, but my guess is Betts will probably be looking for a 1-year sort of pillow contract to rebound after this season because it's just, I don't think there's going to be a $250 million offer for him out there. And if it is, I don't know if he should take it. I mean, it's going to be really interesting because the free agent market is going to be very, very weak this winter, I think, in terms of dollars spent. And so I would suspect that, some players are going to be willing to maybe take a 1-year flyer on themselves and hope that the finances of the sport rebound if there's a full season in 2021.
Boy, so many unknowns, financially, safety-wise, and more. But thank God we have amateur epidemiologist Andy McCullough to answer those
questions.
Thank you. All right, man. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a good one.
You got it. It's Andy McCullough from The Athletic right here on 670 The Score. Later on, our man Chris Kampka will tie the room together like a good area rug. But before that, when we come back, a group of players have rebelled against a misguided plan from management. We will discuss that next on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Oh, there it is. Bring on the Major Leagues by Pavement and Stephen Malkmus. From Brighten the Corners, I think. No, maybe Terror Twilight is the album. Brighten the Corners is so good. That's the one, with Stereo and among other things. Obviously, Crooked Rain is the one, but you didn't tune in to hear an album-by-album breakdown of Pavement's discography. If you did, then, you know, you and me should hang out. But that's probably not why you're listening. It's Hit and Run, the Score's venerable baseball show right here on 670 The Score. Appreciated Andy McCullough being on and taking the fairly good-natured ribbing about Go Cubs Go, among other things. Top of the hour, it is Zach Zaidman and Mark Grody together. And they have a great show lined up for you, including John Boog Shambi at 12:20, Kyle Long at 1 o'clock, and Patrick Manley at 2 o'clock. So hang around with Zach and Mark for the remainder of the day. Texts getting in at 670-11. This texter, great sentence from your last guest. If the number one goal was stopping the virus, then we can't have a baseball season, unquote. Now, that's definitely true. Texter says he obviously wants sports, but he likes at least hearing that stated rather than the rhetoric of we will make health a priority. Safety is our number one concern. The priority is that reopen, play ball, finances, etc., and react as best we can. Health is not the priority for all businesses necessarily. And that's true. It is a lot of businesses are going to be out there, you know, taking some chances and then trying to see what they can do to control a possibility of outbreaks. John Oliver on his show last week tonight had a great long segment, as usual, this time on sports wanting to reopen. And the lesson, the moral at the end was, it's probably too soon, sports. You're adorable. I even like you myself. But it's probably too soon. And that might be the case. And that's why you say guafi, given uncertainty about future infections. Get all these deals in place. MLB, get your labor deal in place. Get your safety and health deal in place. And then if the situation allows you to do it, then you can reopen and have some baseball. A boy can dream. All right, so I mentioned a group of players rebelling against a misguided plan from management. Dig this. The Washington Nationals, right? They're set today to unveil their World Series ring design, as well as to release a documentary on their season called Improbable. and begin a fundraiser called Nats for Good. That all sounds great. They've had this in the works, obviously, for a long time. And as part of this, as part of unveiling their World Series ring design, they decided they were going to have a Zoom virtual ring presentation. This was announced on Tuesday, supposed to happen today. A pre-taped event from yesterday was supposed to air today, and it was going to occur, even though the majority of the team, coaches, staff, and broadcasters have not gotten their rings and won't have their rings. In fact, not until several days later, and some even longer after that. A small pre-selected group was expected to unveil the rings today instead. Very, very weird. Many of the players responsible for the title, this from Britt Garoli on The Athletic, would also be looking at their rings for the first time remotely. They'd be saying, oh, that's what my ring looks like. Okay. Yay! And the players were excluded from the decision to do this remotely, and they were also unaware when it was announced that it wouldn't involve the entire team opening all of their rings at once. That's what I thought it was going to be. If we're going to do it that way, then at least let's all open our rings at once and look at it together and try to do it that way. So the Nats wanted to do this today because this is when last year, when they were 19-31 and they began their turnaround that led them to become World Series champions. Love that idea. Great to have the symmetry of doing it on this day after it was last year that it started. But then the players put up a fight and said, no, we hate this. We completely and utterly hate this. We don't want to do it. We want to be with the fans if possible. And if not with the fans, we at least want to all be with each other and getting these rings together. And the team had to say, all right, you're right. Sorry about that. Stupid. Forget that part. Nix that. So they canceled the ring ceremony. Good. It's ridiculous. I mean, look, it's a small thing, but it's a stupid thing. I get it. They're going to go ahead with releasing the documentary today. They're going to go ahead with beginning a fundraiser that starts today. Good. You can even unveil your World Series ring design if you want. I don't know if they're going to do that part. But don't make the players have that kind of moment virtually. At least let them be together, even if fans cannot be there. It's a magical once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing that you play the game your entire life for. Don't reduce it to a Zoom moment. So
I do
good
think
on the Nats for making a stink.
I still think they're going to hold their virtual ring ceremony, though, because on MLB Network, they're showing the run to the World Series. So they already showed the wild card game. They already showed game 5 of the NLDS. They got game 4 of the NLCS, game 6 of the World Series. And then at 5 p.m. Eastern, they got the World Series film. And then after, they got the virtual ring ceremony, and then they're going to play game 7. So it's still being promoted that they're going to have that ring ceremony.
But it's not happening. It's not going to happen. Britt Garoli tweeted about it. Others have tweeted about it, and her article on The Athletic is updated. Check her article on The Athletic for the update. So I'm sure it's still listed there on the listings for MLB Network, and I get it. So I'm sure there was pressure on the Nats to work along with the network and the league and make it all a part of the thing, but they are not doing the ring ceremony. And maybe they'll unveil it and talk about it or something, but they're not making the players deal with it in that way. That was the latest update that I read. They are going to release the documentary, and the documentary is on MLB Network. Yeah, so I get it now even more from the organization's perspective. They were being pressured to make it all happen. But no. So I'm glad that they relented on that. Are you seeing that now, Sean? Are you seeing the update where it's been retracted? Want to make sure I'm getting it right.
Yeah, I see that update, but the tweet from MLB Network was from 5 hours ago. So they're still promoting it on Twitter that the virtual ring ceremony is still going to take place. So the Zoom call might not happen, but they still might be showing off the ring on MLB Network.
Okay, maybe they'll be doing that. I think we can all agree that in these unprecedented times, this is the biggest issue plaguing our nation, right? Can we agree with that, at least? that this issue of when the Nats players will receive their World Series rings is number one above anything else. Moving along, here's the reality of the situation, okay? The reality of the situation is that minor league baseball is not going to happen. It's just not. There ain't going to be no minor league baseball. And it's likely going to be canceled. And one team and their ballpark are getting out front with a great idea, frankly. I don't know when they'll be able to allow it, but they're in Florida, so maybe that governor will allow it immediately. You can rent out the entire ballpark for the Pensacola Blue Wahoos as an Airbnb. You can stay at night, 10 of you, inside the clubhouse, I know that show, of the Pensacola Blue Wahoos Stadium. It's a beautiful stadium, too, right on the water, by the way. And the listing is right there on Airbnb. Man, there have been some cool things at stadiums. You got the pool out there in Arizona, of course. There's a minor league team way down in southern Illinois that has a hot tub. And for, like, at the time, I did it, like, 9 years ago, for, like, $100, you can get 10 of you are allowed to rent the hot tub together, and there's waitress service right there in the hot tub. It's way down the right field line. That is amazing. But here you go, $1,500, you can have the entire baseball stadium. Listen to the listing. Whether you'd like to host an unforgettable overnight trip with your youth league team, throw an unbeatable birthday bash, stage a corporate retreat that will make you an office hero, or spend your bachelor party living your sports dream, Blue Wahoos Stadium is the ultimate rental. So you've got the ocean views, you got all that stuff, and then you can do whatever you want. Guests staying at the ballpark will have full access to the newly renovated clubhouse, a large bedroom with 10 beds. Huh? So one giant bedroom with 10 beds, I guess that's the nap room for the players that they're converting. The batting cage and the field itself. Want to hit with your friends in our batting cage? Be our guest. Want to play catch on the field at 11:30 p.m.? Yes. Yes, I do. Be our guest. Want to take batting practice while having a couple cold ones with the boys? Yes. Yes, I do. Be our guest. Want to take down your siblings in ping pong and video games in the clubhouse? Be our guest. Want to enjoy breakfast at home plate? Be our guest. That's brilliant. It's brilliant. And it's Florida, so you can pretty much do whatever you want.
What's a better deal, though? The 10 people at Blue Wahoos, and you have, you know, all access to their stadium, or $20,000 on a minimal bid to do batting practice off Roger Clemens. 12 to 15 people on that for an hour.
How much is that, the BP?
$20,000 for Roger Clemens batting practice.
$20,000. And is our guy from our game, is he donating that money somewhere?
Half of the dollars goes to your charity. The other half goes to the Roger Clemens Foundation.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well done. Well done. No, that's that video that we played a snippet of from a couple weeks ago, right? Okay. I'm glad it's all going to charitable foundations. I think taking 10 friends or 9 friends or family and being in a ballpark all night long and playing catch out there, running the bases, taking BP, having breakfast at home plate sounds pretty damn great to me. So I'm down for that. Airbnb, you can find it yourself. 670 The Score is what you're listening to. It's Hit and Run, The Score's venerable baseball show. Zach Zaman and Mark Grody at the top of the hour. We'll come back and wrap it up with our man Chris Kempka next, right here on Hit and Run. Back in on 670 The Score. It is Hit and Run. Before we go to our man Chris Kempka, I had to update, as the texter said, and then I wanted to look. The Pensacola Blue Wahoos Stadium, available for rental on Airbnb at $1,500 a night. You and 9 friends could come and spend your night inside the clubhouse and the field of the stadium, use the batting cage, etc., is completely sold out. It is 100% sold out. Let's see. Yep, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, it's sold out completely. So, man, follow that lead, minor league ballparks. make some money if you can. I'm betting that most minor league teams make more than $1,500 a day. But hey, that's a start. Minor league baseball is going to be so damaged by what's going on. It has already begun, too. It's ugly, but we've talked about that an awful lot. Let's instead try to enjoy ourselves as we do our final segment here and bring in our man, Chris Kamka. We call it Cam Connections. We get ourselves Cam connected with our favorite statistical anomaly seeker and finder. He's a man who loves the game as much as we do. Here, it's our game. It's Chris Kamka on our hotline. What's up, Chris? Good morning.
Oh, we need baseball back.
And I know, man.
There's one big reason I want to mention.
Okay.
So it's a man who was 4-7 in his rookie season. He has 247 career wins, and he turns 47 today. Talking about Bartolo Colon. Let's get him one more year. We need it.
That should be a rallying cry during the negotiations. They should, you know, assuming this is all done on computer, there should be a picture of Bartolo in the top left corner just on everybody's home screen.
I think that's a great idea.
Right? Do it for him. 247 wins, that's a lot of wins, especially in an era now where the win has become devalued, both devalued and also harder to get. 247, where does that put him on the list? Probably, it's got to be in the top 100, top 50 even?
Well, I can get you an answer. But by the way, I may mention he started pitching before the era that wins were no longer important. So, you know, his initials are BC, and that's when he started pitching. I got a lot of these. So, yeah, he wore number 40. He's XL. XL is Roman numeral for 40. Extra large. Okay. Let's see. Career wins. He's 50th.
That's 50th, 50th on the button with 247 wins.
Incredible. Let's see. That's going from Baseball Reference, and they include a league that doesn't necessarily count. So he's probably a little higher than that. Think about it. I mean, for all the trivia, we love the trivia. I mean, he is older than 8 of the 30 major league managers. 8 of 30. When he made his major league debut, 18 of the 30 current major league parks had not yet opened. And one of the 12 that did open was Tropicana Field, and they had yet to host a major league game because the Diamondbacks and the Devil Rays did not even appear until the year after.
Wow.
Bartolo has pitched in the Astrodome, the Kingdome, and the Tokyo Dome in his major league career. And he has a chance to be the last remaining player in Major League Baseball to play born in the 70s. Because as of right now, that would be Fernando Rodney. But he's a free agent. He's probably not going to get with another team this year, I would think. Bartolo has a chance to be the last 70s-born player in the majors. And it's a fun list. If you go through that, the last one born in the 60s was Mariano Rivera. The last one born in the 50s was Julio Franco, who evidently was Bartolo's teammate in his major league debut back on April 4th, 1997. And then Franco went on to play 754 more games.
Wow.
And we all know how old he was.
Yeah, Franco, I think, was 47. He played till he was 47. So
he played
love too, that.
Like 49.
Was he that old? Unbelievable.
The oldest player ever to hit a home run was Julio Franco.
Wow.
Here's some more fun nuggets from Bartolo's major league debut. When he made his debut, the number one song in the country was "Can't Nobody Hold Me Down" by Puff Daddy and Mace. And, you know, Puff Daddy went through several name changes after that. Mace retired and came back and retired again. The number one movie was Liar Liar.
Oh, my God. That's Jim Carrey. And was there a young Steve Carell? No, it's Jim Carrey. Okay, I was thinking of Evan Almighty. I was mixing up my movies of that era. Okay, so Bartolo, 47 today. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Bartolo's faced Cody Bellinger. He's faced Cody Bellinger's dad. And he's faced somebody who's 12 years older than Cody Bellinger's dad, Eddie Murray.
Is that the oldest guy he faced? Eddie Murray?
I believe Eddie Murray is the answer to that question.
Which is interesting because they were teammates at one point, right?
With the Indians, I believe, yeah.
I would think.
They were teammates. Well, might have been.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Consider this. When career home run leaderboard, when Bartolo made his debut, Henry Aaron, of course, is number one with 755. Number 54 on the home run list, 54, Barry Bonds with 334. Oh. And number 55 on that home run list was his dad, Bobby Bonds. So they were right next to each other on the career home run list at that time.
That for some reason, that one is hitting me more than almost any of them that you mentioned. Because you're talking about a Barry Bonds when he debuted. What year did he debut? 97?
Bartolo, yeah, 97. April 4th, 1997.
So that you're talking about a Barry Bonds who was perhaps the best player in the game. It was him or Ken Griffey Jr. as the best all-around player in the game. Maybe Roberto Alomar had something to say about it. But it's really those two. And it was pre-98, pre-love affair for Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. It was pre-steroids consideration and transformation for Barry Bonds. And he was already number 54 in the all-time home run list. And if he never used the cream and the clear, he would have ended up with, what, 450, something like that, and would have gone down as one of the greatest players of all time.
Instead, he probably could have cracked 500 still. Maybe. That was more than enough. He could have probably retired right then and there.
Yeah.
You know? And Sam, wow. Speaking of Sammy Sosa, he had 171 career home runs at that time.
171. God.
Yeah. Coming off a career high 40.
Yeah. And before things went bananas. Oh, man.
I hope. Mm-hmm. He was before the home run chase. So, you know, maybe before the home run chase.
When Bartolo homered Chris Kampka off of big game James Shields, I believe it was the longest that anybody had ever played the game before hitting their first home run, right? 19 seasons?
I think that's the case. In age, it was either him or Randy Johnson, the two oldest to hit their first major league home run.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. Thank God we had Twitter then, because it broke down when Bartolo hit that home run. And I was there for it. I mean, I was, not physically there for it, but I was ready. I was ready to enjoy it.
Well, I remember that Neil Walker, the who was on the Mets at the time, said, that made everyone's career to witness that, said Neil Walker. Because he said they'd been talking about it for a long time. What do we do if Bartolo homers? And then he finally did it. Unbelievable. Hey, this is as good a moment as any for me to announce, and I'll announce to you, Chris Kampka, that coming later this week is a 5-minute or so bit to be debuted as a collaboration between me and your friend Jason Benetti that we are working on, that we're very excited about. And the subject matter for this particular bit is going to be Bartolo Colon. That is coming later in the week. So consider that news broken.
There's always room for more Bartolo Colon content, and I'm ready for it, and I'm excited.
Thank you, Chris. You're the best. He is Chris Kampka. Thanks, man. Have a great week.
You too.
At C. Kampka on Twitter. Thank you to Sean Anderson for a great job producing the show. I had a lot of fun today. Thanks to Andy McCullough from The Athletic, Mike Ferrin from the Arizona Diamondbacks broadcast booth, and thank you to Phil from Stupid Car Tray. It's easier to be nice to somebody who has stolen your idea when they seem like a good-natured person, even though they still contend they have not stolen my idea. But check them out at stupidcartray.com. Have a great week, everybody. I'll be on Cubs 360 on Marquee on Tuesday, and then back with you next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But as I mentioned, follow my Twitter feed. Me and Jason Benetti working on something special that should debut this week. We're looking forward to it. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Zach Zabeman and Mark Grody are next. Tremendous guests. Boog Shambi at 12:20. Kyle Long at 1. Patrick Manley at 2. Safe and happy observance of Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend to all of you. And thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you who have served our country. Good day, everybody. Be well.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.